Well, this next topic might seem silly, but is it? We always like good food for thought, thinking in different ways. And our next guest has certainly done that. He is Eric Roper. He is a columnist with the Minnesota Star Tribune. He joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And I was drawn to the attention of his new video suggesting that we may have too many cities in the Twin Cities metro area. Eric, thank you for the time. Now, is this an idea that you've heard or that you came up with and said, hey, we're just maybe a little too crowded here?
I'm sure I'm not the first person to have this idea, but...
Well, if you are, congratulations. Yeah.
Okay. I wrote a column about this last year, actually, and then it came up again when I wrote recently about the redevelopment of Les Bolstead Golf Course in Falcon Heights, and someone at the company said, you know, someone who does social video said, oh, you should do a video about what you said in that column, that we have too many cities, because I wrote that in the Les Bolstead column. And I think that it's a topic that doesn't get enough attention. I mean, it's going to be hard to sort of, change the dynamics of, I mean, we have more than 140 municipalities in the Twin Cities metro area. It's going to be hard to change that. But it's something that when we make decisions and we make policy decisions, like, we have to be very cognizant of the fact that we're one of the most fragmented metro areas in the country. And it really impacts a lot of how things operate around here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Compared to similar sized metropolitan areas around the United States, how differently are you say much more fragmented? So like a comparative kind of metro areas don't nearly have the amount of communities that we have?
I mean, so there's examples that are like us, like, I wrote about this last year, there's like a couple different ways that you can slice this. There's a 2010 book about the Twin Cities region and about regionalism. And it says, that book says we have the fifth most fragmented local government structure among the country's top 50 metro areas. And that isn't just cities. That includes like school districts, counties. We have a lot of counties too. And like special government units. So you can break this a number of different ways. I mean, obviously there's places like Pittsburgh, Chicago, have a lot of cities. I think one thing that is especially true here is that not only do we have a lot of cities, but our urban core is also bifurcated. So unlike a Chicago and a Pittsburgh, we actually have two central cities, which then sort of split apart that population. So that makes us a little unique, but certainly we are one of the most fragmented in the country. And again, there's a lot of different ways you can slice this, but we're up there on the list.
And Eric, what are the problems that result because of it? As an example, your video there at Les Bolstead Golf Course, and now how this is a area that's prime for development and it borders so many different communities that there's really not a straight answer on what to do with it. And there's a number of different governing bodies at play. Explain that.
So with the Les Bolstead example, it's an interesting one because here we have a project. It's right next to St. Paul. I mean, it's near a bunch of different cities, Roseville, Lauderdale. And it is really a project of regional significance. It is the largest urban redevelopment site in the metro area. And so that means that, you know, this is a big opportunity for our region. We should be really thoughtful about, especially trying to get some density in there because it's near some major population centers. But ultimately, this is going to get decided by the voters of Falcon Heights, which has a little over 5,000 people that live in it. Falcon Heights residents have already said that they are averse to seeing much more density in this part of the city. And we see this around the metro where cities have this immense power to curtail housing, or at least the density of housing that's being built. And this contributes to the affordability problems we see in the metro. And this is why we're seeing at the legislature attempts to rein in some of that power, because there's been a real understanding of the impact that it's having. But think for a second about the huge array of mayors and city council members, et cetera, that come out of the woodwork every time the legislature gets close to this topic. It's a very powerful force that we don't often talk about. And also the reason why the Metropolitan Council is not as powerful, in my opinion, as it could be, is not as assertive as it could be, because they're up against a huge force from all these municipalities. And then I would just add on to that, sorry to ramble, but, you know, there's also just the sheer inefficiency of it all, right? I mean, how many city halls do we have? How many police departments do we have? How much bureaucracy and additional administrative cost are we layering on by having all these cities? And then on top of all that, there's been studies linking this to income segregation and racial segregation throughout the region, especially through zoning and things like that. So it has a lot of downstream problems. I think people have a lot of pride in their particular city and the name of the city and what have you. But
sure,
we need to be talking more about the problems that come with having so many cities.
We're talking to Eric Roper from the Minnesota Star Tribune. To your knowledge and looking into this, and I'm trying to think, I've obviously lived here most of my life, I unless I'm just missing an obvious example, I'm not sure I can remember a time where, like, we were moving to deincorporate any kind of city, or cities had talked about, you know, merging. Is there any kind of precedence for that here?
I don't, you know, there may have been one-off things, but in any large scale, I'm not really aware of anything like that. And I think that, you know, what we did do was that in the 1960s, we created the Metropolitan Council. We created a regional government. And under statute, the Met Council is the second most powerful regional government in the United States. Number one is Portland. But over the years, the Met Council sort of exists in this zone where they're so on the sort of precipice of losing all of their power because people want to get rid of the Met Council that they sort of pull their punches. And so even though we actually on paper have a regional government that is pretty, you know, strong and could maybe sort of, I mean, I think the Met Council should have more authority to coordinate and over land use and all these things where we're seeing sort of duplication. Like, how can we hand more of this off to the Met, to a regional government, which we already have? And so that was our response as a region, was not to deincorporate or merge cities, but was to create a regional government. And I would just note that historically, Minnesota had pretty lax laws about municipal incorporation, and that's partly why this happened. And those laws, I believe, are somewhat different today. But historically, you know, how places incorporated from being townships into villages, the sort of threshold for how many people needed to live there was quite low. And so that's partly how we end up in this situation. And our response was we needed to create a regional government. And unfortunately, I don't think people have a ton of faith in the Met Council, but we need to reform the Met Council so that people do have more faith in it, because it's so important.
I was just going to say that, because we're getting texts now like, are you kidding me about the Met Council? So make your pitch for the Met Council, especially, you know, people saying it's an unelected body that they think has too much power already. What would be your ultimate vision for the Met Council?
I mean, think of things like, I'll just throw out an example here. Like, you know, we think about Lyft and Uber and taxi regulations. Like, these are regional services, but we regulate them on a city by city basis. Minimum wage is another one. I mean, these are the things, these are places that my head goes when I think about where could a regional government be more sort of influential. I'm currently looking at the fact that Blaine is about to build a major pro baseball facility.
$700 million.
To make a whole new destination downtown out in Blaine. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, is there like a regional sort of chessboard here? Like, are we actually planning this out in sort of a logical way? Or is it actually more that cities are sort of on their own and each city is sort of clamoring for as much tax base as it can get, which means they give huge tax increment financing handouts to various companies and what have you. Like, I think that when we look at sort of what cities do to sort of like kind of protect themselves and to protect their budgets, I don't know that it always benefits the entire region or has a regional logic to it. So I understand there's complaints about the Met Council. unfortunately, here I'd say this: like the person who really controls the Met Council and the chair of the Met Council is the governor of the state of Minnesota. And unfortunately, I don't think I've heard much from our current governor about what his regional vision is. And he's been in office for a long time, and I think that that's part of the issue. I think there are reforms we should make to the structure of the council. At a minimum, I think staggering the terms so that each governor doesn't just create a whole new Met Council. But also just like I think we should acknowledge the governor is the sort of the chair is really the leader of the region by fact of appointing the Met Council. And so we should demand our governor to explain their regional vision. And I haven't heard it. And I hope that as we get deeper into the governor's race here, that we hear a bit more from the candidates about what their regional vision is, you know.
Eric, thanks for the time. It's great and certainly an interesting topic. And thanks for bringing it up and coming on the radio today to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Eric Roper from the Minnesota Star Tribune. Should we just go down the list, Dave, starting with Anoka and stay or go? Anoka, stay
going
or
alphabetically.
Going
on
alphabetically.
This
should we turn this into a wrong answers only? Which cities need to go away?
Let's roll it.
651-461-9226. Which cities here in the Minneapolis, St. Paul, greater metro area need to go away or just blend with another city? We'll have your reaction to that after this on CCL.